On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we take the elevator up to the Glade as we look for Christian themes in The Maze Runner. Can Thomas's vision of life beyond the maze save his brothers from the sting of death? All that more in 3, 2, 1. Come on in, admission is free, grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 56. I'm Gandalf.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation and ultimately our Christian walk. You are tuned in to Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
Remember, Brendan, a podcaster is never late. He arrives precisely when he means to.
Michael.
Yes?
I mean, Gandalf. I mean...
Yes?
Oh,
I goofed that up. A podcaster never arrives late. He podcasts precisely when he means to. That's how it should have been.
Oh, well, there you go.
Frodo.
Hey, whoa.
Hey, where have you been? It's been another sabbatical.
But this one was an emergency.
It was.
It wasn't a spoiler. It was just an emergency.
Yeah, but that could work for an emergency as
okay.
well.
Okay. Oh, so we're...
So what happened last Thursday, Brendan?
What actually started last Wednesday. It was our last dress rehearsal for Alice in Zombieland.
Yes.
And we just happened to notice that the White Rabbit wasn't there.
Oh.
Well,
he went down the rabbit hole. That's a tricky...
It went down the rabbit hole of mono.
Oh.
The student, she was diagnosed with mono. And
highly contagious.
She was heavily advised not to go to school.
Let me turn off that room microphone over there. That shouldn't have been on the whole entire time. That's what's been goofing me up. All right.
I know. I heard that little thing.
Yes.
I thought someone was mowing a lawn.
I had that room mic on when we were doing the pre-show, which people should have tuned in for. Oh, you know, we're live here.
For our lively discussion.
Yes, we're here live in the studio. Well, we'll tell you about that at the end of the program. But the video camera is on right now. You can see me in full gray wizard glory. And Brendan wearing his white rabbit makeup.
Hey, wait a minute.
Test number. So how many tests did it take?
Well, luckily... It didn't take any.
Oh, okay.
Because
I saw the picture. It said test one.
Yes, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see a nice little picture of me trying to do some white rabbit makeup. Because the emergency was, if this student wasn't able to perform, I would have had to step up and take her spot.
Okay.
However, things happened Thursday afternoon when I got to school ready to put on my makeup, ready to put on my costume. Oh, hey, the kid's here. You know why? Because it wasn't mono per se. It was a disease kind of sort of like mono.
Okay.
Which meant she still had like a lot of the same symptoms. Like she was really dreary and, you know, just a lot of gunky stuff. But it wasn't as contagious as I thought. So after a day of rest, she was able to come and be the White Rabbit.
Okay.
So I'm like, oh, well, I feel like I could have done the podcast.
Well, hey, but you didn't know.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't know, so I had to make the choice. Had to stay there, and I kind of spent all Thursday morning doing lines.
Well, and there you go. For all of you kids out there that are aspiring to be theater practitioners, actors, listen to the tale that Brendan has just woven. It is it's a precarious job.
Yes.
It is yes, fraught with
high intensity.
Yes. You never know what may happen.
Yeah.
And you may have to step in and perform for somebody.
And the show has to go on.
Just not this one.
Just not this one. But hey, now we're back.
Okay. Hey, you know what? I watched a movie this last week.
Do tell.
First of all, we've had my in-laws in town since the last time that we did a show, and it hasn't afforded me much time to do a whole lot of things that I meant to get done. But one thing was, we were able to watch Maleficent.
Hey, I like that.
No, you didn't like it.
Well,
that's I liked it.
I like that you got to watch it. Oh. I like that you liked it.
I liked it a lot. In fact, my wife and I did. Our oldest daughter despised it. I mean, and said so in no uncertain words and uncertain terms.
Oh.
Well, it's safe to say that I hated that movie. We're like, what?
Haley said that?
Yes. What are you talking about? Well, Haley is a devotee. Devotee? Of.
That's a devotee. That's how I've heard it.
Of Disney princesses. Classic Disney princesses. Do not go changing my princesses is what goes on in Haley's heart. But
so then I bet she liked the new Cinderella, or is she
Nope. Oh,
really?
She thought it was okay, but she says that's not Cinderella.
Okay. Continue.
She's a purist.
Continue with Maleficent.
I'm proud of her. I loved the tale. I think that would be a great movie to cover on Finding Christ in Cinema. I think there were some great Christian themes in there. I really love what they did with Maleficent.
Now, Michael.
Yes.
Technically, there are Christian themes in any movie.
Well, I guess if you want to be...
If we're going to be like that.
If you're going to be... If you play footloose and fancy free with the terminology there.
There you go. I just remember my main thing about not liking the film was just the premise of the story. It's being told from the bad guy's perspective, and it makes the bad seem not so bad. I don't know.
But see, we all fall short.
Yes,
we all sin and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
And our circumstances, how they help weave the tale of our lives for us. And she was able to overcome. But what caused her to overcome? Love. Love. She was scorned.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so there's love right there. She was scorned. She was robbed. She was mutilated.
Yeah.
Okay. By, you know, whatever his name is, Philip or Chuck or John. I don't remember. whatever the king's name was.
Doc Holliday.
And
Daisy, if you do.
And then, and so she wanted her revenge, which is a very human attribute, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's why God had to say, you know, vengeance is mine. I'll do the repaying, says the Lord. But no, she wanted it because that's a very human drive. But she was brought back around by love. And oh, I just thought, now I do have to say this. There's a lot in the editing. Well, we'll say this. There was a lot left on the cutting room floor.
Okay.
So I would like to see a director's cut of that film, because there were just some parts where the edit, it was like painful. Like, oh man, that was sharp. Why'd you do that? You know? So anyway, other than that, I liked it. What's going on with you?
Well, in this past week, this is the first week of this year that I'm not in any play.
Whoa!
Because since January, I've been with the fly, been with the school, been with...
With the McFly?
More on that later.
Yes.
With puppets at church.
Yeah.
It's always been something, and this is 1 week.
Wow.
That I don't know what to do.
Wow. Are you bored?
I had time to do other things.
Okay.
I was not bored, no sir.
You had time to get a haircut. All the kids say he's keeping America beautiful. America.
I had time to cut my own hair.
That's too much time on your hands.
That was a decision at 1 o'clock in the morning. And luckily I had a good friend who was willing to straighten it out for me.
Let me fix that for you.
Well, she's a hairstylist, and she was looking, was like, oh, that looks pretty good. And then she got to the back. Ugh. I was like, well, I couldn't really see the back. I haven't really mastered that part yet.
Wonderful.
So, you know, thankfully it's all straightened out now.
Okay, well, what's coming up then on your play agenda?
Well, the next thing is Twain's Tales.
Yes.
At the Fly.
We talked a little bit about this on the last episode, but it was so long ago that even our most devoted listeners probably forgot all about it.
They're like, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
just... Never heard of such a thing.
Just a quick thing about it. It's a dramatic version of Mark Twain's short stories. It's a dramatized, not
Germanic,
dramatic.
Huh?
Not dramatic. Dramatized.
Oh.
Dramatized version of Mark Twain short stories.
Octane.
So.
No. Nine?
No. Nope. Sorry.
Now, that looks exciting, or sounds exciting.
I hope it is. Yeah, we got auditions next week, and then we won't start rehearsals until the first week of June. So.
Hey, so you have more time off.
Hey, yeah.
Awesome.
More time to watch more cool movies.
Like what?
Like, oh man, Michael. First at home, suggestion for everyone who wants something good in their lives. Billy Crystal's one-man show, 700 Sundays.
What is this?
It's a one-man show. It's Billy Crystal. He's on stage by himself. And HBO filmed it. They filmed one of the performances. They had a professional film crew. It wasn't just, here, set the camera down on a tripod and let Billy go. They had, like, cameras zooming in everywhere. So it looks like a really nicely filmed.
Well-produced.
Well-produced, yes. But that doesn't compare to Billy Crystal's own abilities in storytelling, in performance.
Huh.
He, classic guy. Classic entertainer.
Yeah, yes.
And 700 Sundays... What this title comes to is his father, his relationship with his father. His father died when he was 15 years old. And he figures, he says this in the show, he figures that left him with his dad for 700 Sundays of his life. So he goes through, like, he starts off the storytelling, like, Sunday number one, I'm born. Hey, yeah. Sunday number two.
In classic Billy Crystal fashion, too.
Yeah, he's got that typical New Yorkian from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, that accent. He's just going off on how his life with his father. And then without his father.
Yeah.
And it's really touching.
Wow, so, I really want to see that.
Caveat spectator, he's got some dirty words in there. That's Billy Crystal, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, besides that, it's a really good show. Also saw the movie Unbroken.
Ooh, that World War II Olympian, yes. Directed by Angelina
Sorry. Jolie. Maleficent.
Yes. Maleficent. Yeah. You should have just said that.
Why didn't you? That one was pretty good.
I think I'm kind of famous for interchanging the names, whatever name comes to me first. What's that name? Maleficent. Well, it's based on a true story. The trailer looked like just a complete tearjerker, heartstring puller. Really, the film version of this man compared to the real life man, I guess the real life guy was larger than the film. It was too big for the film. Yeah. So what are some of your impressions on that?
Oh, I loved it.
Okay. Well, there's a good impression.
That was the first impression. Well, I wouldn't... Okay, I love... You know, we talk about art. Talk about understanding art in two pieces. Content and form. The content of the story, great.
Yes.
Just one pet peeve that drove me crazy.
What's that?
Through the whole film.
The editing.
It looked... No.
Okay.
The makeup. On the Caucasian people, it looked like they had been spray tanned.
Oh no!
With a nice orange glow,
cano tan.
Oh man! I'm sorry, that's what rubbed me the wrong way in the previews for it. Like, I'm sure this is a great film and it's a great story, but I don't know if I can sit through 2 hours of that because they are not Oompa Loompas. Why do they look like them?
Did you check the settings on your television set?
I did. Yes, they were normal. They were okay.
Okay.
But besides, that's my only pet peeve with it. It's a great film, great story. Check it out.
Okay. Definitely. Did you make your way to the theater?
Oh, did
I mean, there's a big, humongous blockbuster that everybody. I mean, that even Jeremiah Orr of The Theonauts even mentioned me in a tweet saying that this particular movie that everybody's talking about has had a 94% score, Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh, man. I believe he's talking about Mad Max.
Yes.
Fury Road.
Which I have said on the show, I have zero interest in this movie whatsoever. But you, Brendan, the man who likes to throw himself on the sword... For our sake, for our benefit, he will go and watch Get Hard. He will. Is there no movie this man will not watch?
Yeah, there's some. There's some.
So Mad Max.
Well, it's. I think Shakespeare sums it up best.
Yes.
Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing.
Okay.
Because it was just. It's a lot of spectacle. Too much spectacle for me to appreciate it. Now, in saying that, it looks great. The cinematography, George Miller knows how to work a camera and be cool with it. Be awesome, be exciting about it. There's not much character depth. That's what
my understanding
for.
Is that Tom Hardy nary has a line in it.
He doesn't. He really doesn't, and he's. He's a title character. How are you going to name something? How are you going to do that? George Miller. How are you going to give Tom Hardy... Okay, and another thing. In The Dark Knight Rises, Tom Hardy plays Bane.
Uh-huh.
Whole movie, wears a mask. In this movie, wears a mask.
Oh, really?
Everyone loves Tom Hardy above the nose. Anything below the nose, people hate because directors keep covering it up.
I love Tom Hardy in Inception. I thought he was one of the highlights of that film.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm really not familiar with any of his other work that I can even think of. I don't know if I've seen him in anything because I haven't even gotten around to seeing Dark Knight Rises yet. I'd like to see him act, but I'm not going to watch it in Mad Max. It just looked like a big hot mess. But here's the thing that I want to point out there, because Jeremiah said it well when, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have Twitter pulled up here, that he says, I don't think I have lost all respect for that rating system, Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, it was it's near 100%. Everybody, this is the greatest thing ever. You have to assume that this is a masterpiece that should not be missed. But yet there's this other movie that's coming out or is out. I'm not quite sure. It's in the my Apple Movie Trailers app that I watch on my iPad. And it's a Christian movie about this little boy that is trying to get his dad home from World War II. Guess what he has on Rotten Tomatoes?
Probably like a 6.
Like 16%.
16. Oh, yeah. Okay. Better than what I thought.
Now, are you going to tell me there's no bias in that whole rating system? Can you convince me that there's no bias? Because I watched the clip, and yeah, it's your typical cheesy Christian movie. Okay, we know the look. We know the sounds of these, the typical Christian movie. But I was watching, and I was tearing up in the trailer. Hey, I'll watch this movie. It might make me feel good and give a little bit of hope in humanity. 16%, Mad Max, explosion, hot mess of nothingness, of smoke and mirrors, of vapor. 90-something percent, Rotten Tomatoes. Your system's busted. Plain and simple. I'm calling it right now. Can we look forward to a Monday movie review on this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now... We have had a couple of Monday movie reviews in the interim since the last episode of Finding Christ in Cinema.
Yeah.
What's up first?
Yes. Well, first, Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah!
We'll go
Wait
ahead.
A second. Wait a second. You have flip-flopped on me.
I...
Don't make me go and play the last episode of Finding Christ in Cinema when we were talking about the Avengers.
Nope.
No, I'll just invite the listeners, because you heard it, and if not, make sure you listen to the beginning of episode number 55 of Finding Christ in Cinema. You said it was a great movie.
I said it was, okay, by great,
I like, must... great Scott! No.
No, that might, we're getting ahead.
Next week.
We're getting okay. ahead. 1.21 gigawatts. there's only one thing that can produce 1.21 gigawatts. It's a bolt of lightning.
Yeah.
What? A bolt of lightning. The only thing is we don't know when or where one's going to strike. We do now. Anyway, back to this. Okay, yes. And I'll still stick to this. Avengers is exciting. It's really cool. It's really awesome. But I didn't see a lot of substance there.
Okay.
Then again, you say you did.
Yeah.
And of course, like I, you know, we always end up agreeing some way or another.
We take the long way around.
We do. So that being said,
yes.
For some feedback on Avengers, hey, Philip Hurd, patron saint.
Yes,
Philip. I felt very much the same way. I definitely enjoyed it, but I kind of felt it was covering ground much trod upon. A good time, but not the blown-away experience I had for the first Avengers. I'm glad they're moving on. It's time to do so.
Okay.
And, Philip, on that note, I agree with you. I'm glad they are moving on. I just wish there was a better setup for Civil War. Because I'm anticipating Captain America Civil War to be really
big.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because, if anything...
Well...
The Captain America thread in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, I think, is proving to be one of the best ones.
I agree. I definitely agree with you there.
And I wish there was more
well crafted.
Yes. Yeah.
Deep philosophical threads, spiritual threads. But now, one thing though is that. I'm wondering, Philip, do you think that you were let down, and many people were, because the first movie was so good?
Go ahead.
Well, that often happens with a sequel is, how do you top the first one?
Well, I mean, yeah, in his comment, he does compare Age of Ultron to the first one.
I can only think of in a multi-part series, like a trilogy, I can only think of off the top of my head, one, and it's because it's the most famous one, where the second movie surpassed the first. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Star Wars.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Empire Strikes Back is hailed as the greatest sequel of all time. You know, that's a hard, in a story arc, that's the weak point, is the middle, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just wondering, you know, that's my honest question is, was it disappointing because you were expecting too much out of a sequel, out of the middle part of an arc?
And that honestly kind of rings true with me as to why I kind of felt let down, even though as exciting and cool as it was, there was still that part of me that just walked out of the theater, man. I feel like I'm missing something.
See, I didn't walk out that way. I walked out confused about the hot tub scene. That, but
moving on.
Okay,
the underground jacuzzi.
Yes,
and then John Wilkerson. He also left a little feedback.
Okay,
on
John
the
Wilkerson
Avengers.
From thewiredhomeschool.com.
Yes, sir. While I thought Age of Ultron was mediocre.
Whoa. Pull no punches.
There are some interesting themes in this film. One, we kind of already kind of alluded to, Captain America's values versus modern America.
Yes.
Which, honestly, I think that's the main thread with
Captain
America.
Did you see that meme? Captain America complains about language and, you know, gets ridden for the whole movie. For that,
oh yeah,
Tony Stark tries to creates artificial intelligence that's destroying the world. You know, no problem,
right?
That was a good meme. Why did they make such a big deal about Captain America and his hang up with the language that Tony Stark uses? But
it's because Steve Rogers still knows how to blush.
Oh,
moving on. Ultron's many references to God and creation.
Yeah.
Of course, it's James Spader's voice.
So right.
Of course we're going to listen.
Yes.
Putting family first. Now, this is one thing that I loved about this film.
Yes. And do you know why? What did you love?
Well, I loved it. I believe he doesn't say it, but I believe he's referencing to Hawkeye's
family.
Family, his secluded family home off the grid.
Yes.
This is his purpose.
Yes. Yes,
is keeping this family safe.
Yeah,
and it just seems so well put, because the rest of the Avengers, they're always either on the run, like Bruce Banner or Black Widow, Natasha, they're on the run. Even Nick Fury now.
Yeah.
They're running away. They don't have a place to rest their head, or they do have a place to rest their head, like Tony Stark.
Yeah.
But he takes it for granted.
Yeah.
And that's Tony Stark's way.
Gosh, getting back to Captain America, that might also be what makes him such a strong character for movies, is that he should have a place to lay his head, but he's a man out of time.
He is, yeah.
He truly has no place to lay his head. And he's trying to make, to understand the circumstances that surround him based on the knowledge that he brought with him, which was 70 years, you know, out of date.
Yeah.
That is a great, wow. Okay, I'm sorry. Anything else?
Here's to speeding up this part.
Yes.
Next up, he says, another theme he liked, preemptive action against an enemy.
Ooh.
And just by saying that, I'm reminded of, I think it was Ben Franklin. And I know Ben Franklin is not the role model that should be, but I think he made a good point when he said, people who are willing to trade their security for freedom deserve neither.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what this preemptive action means against Ultron, you know, wanting to
trade their freedom for security.
Exactly. Yeah. And losing out on the freedom because of it.
Yep.
Continuing with John Wilkerson. From a movie-making standpoint, Marvel's and Disney's darker and grittier themes that push the edge of a PG-13 rating.
I don't know. I understand what he's saying, but you ought to hear how many times my wife and I will have a conversation about movies that we remember as kids growing up and saying, oh, hey, we should have we should show this to the kids. This was a fun movie, you know, in hindsight. Fun movie, rated PG. What was rated PG, the things that they would say and the situations, PG-13 when I was growing up, how in the world was this PG-13? It blows us away every time. So there's something that you can maybe a little back and forth on that, John. That might be actually a good subject for The Wired Homeschool, even though he's mainly covering technology and its use in homeschools and things like that. But go back, John, and watch those movies from when we were growing up, those PG-rated movies, and see if they don't make you blush.
Yeah,
I agree that PG-13 movies, they are pushing the limit, and there are so many people out there that want superhero movies to be an R rating. Go to the comments on firstshowing.net and listen to how many people are always up in arms. When are we going to get an R-rated, you know, superhero? Why? What is it that you want? What are you looking for? Or as David Gaddy from the Theonauts would say, what's on your heart to see in these movies? Because John makes a good point. They are pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
But, again, I just ask you to consider what PG rating movies were like some 20-odd years ago or so. Anything else?
Well, yeah, a few more things, yes. He continues with terrible CGI in the opening scene.
I don't remember the opening scene.
I can't remember the opening scene either. Joss Whedon stepping down as director.
I think that's a good thing, myself.
Yeah,
he doesn't want to be.
We've kind of already talked about it, too.
He wanted to move on.
Kevin Feige. Feige. And then, okay, and I was just reading this just now because I had forgotten about it, and it didn't strike me as absurd, which is what I think John was going for. Why does Ultron have teeth?
Could that be?
Yes, John. Why does he have teeth? I have no idea.
Tony Stark trying to create him in his own image.
Just some thoughts of that are fresh in his head after seeing it this week.
And I believe that he wrote a blog post on his website. I don't want to give out the website URL because I don't know. He's changing things around, and so we'll get that and. Maybe retweet that out for people to read, but I do know that he wrote a full-fledged blog post on it on his own. What else is going on in this, the longest introduction segment in history?
Because
we have a lot to talk about.
There was that one other week that we didn't have.
Yes.
I also saw another movie, Ex Machina.
Now we talked about that. I was excited, and then you said, well, hold on a second, because I've heard rumors about this film that it might not be appropriate to watch. And you wrote a Monday movie review on this.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed your Monday movie review. As a matter of fact, so did David Gaddy. Why don't you read his comment right off the bat?
Yeah. David says, sounds like my type of existential study.
Yes.
Blade Runner is one of my all-time favorite films and one that addresses the same questions about humanity.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so tell us a little bit about Ex Machina.
Well, Ex Machina follows this computer programmer named Caleb, played by FCC's very own Domhnall Gleeson.
All right.
Well, is he our very own yet? He should be.
He will be. Well, hey, he's in the next Star Wars movie, so we claim him preemptively.
There you go. There you go.
And his dad. I mean, come on, his dad
of
is...
Of course. Yeah, he's on the shelf.
Yeah, his dad has made more appearances on the show than anybody.
Well, there you go. Plus, we got to add Calvary to the list. Anyway, let's see. Okay, so he's this computer programmer, and he's afforded this wonderful opportunity to go hang out with his boss. Now, this boss named Nathan, he's like this super genius computer programmer, lives by himself in the icy mountains of wherever. But
wherever?
Of wherever.
Yeah.
It's somewhere up north, I'm pretty sure. But the thing is, once you get past the icy mountains, there's this nice little valley where there's green, there's life. There's...
An uncanny valley?
Stop, Michael.
Oh!
Michael. Michael, way to jump ahead, sir. Anyway... Caleb thinks he's going there just for fun, but actually Nathan has invited him there to participate in a test called the Turing test.
All right.
Now the Turing test, this, and I didn't know this going in, so it's kind of cool that I learned something. This is a test subjected on humans to test whether or not they believe that the artificial intelligence that they are engaging with could pass as a human.
Okay.
From there, we meet this android that Nathan has created, Ava. And the film starts off with Ava and Caleb going through these sessions where Caleb has to have a little dialogue with Ava. And, you know, it kind of starts off awkwardly enough because it's one being meeting another. And, of course, there's the question like, well, I already know she's a robot. Does that mean the test fails? And then Nathan says, no, the real test is to see that now that you know that she is a robot and you can tell that she is, does it make a difference?
Ah, okay.
And then from there, issues of trust, issues of betrayal, issues of, not issues, themes. Themes, these thematic elements come up. And then... At the end of the movie, you just wonder, why did I trust any of these people in the first place?
Wow. Okay, so...
It's that intense. Well, actually, just to spark it off,
uh-huh.
there's a power outage on the facility while Ava and Caleb are having this session. And during the power outage, all of the surveillance stops, but there's this emergency light. And in this emergency light, Ava tells Caleb, hey, you cannot trust Nathan.
Huh.
Oh, so that just heightens the drama right there.
Nice.
And from that moment, you're just, you don't even need the whole seat. You just need the edge.
All right. And so you wrote the Monday movie review. People can go over to ChristianCinema.com and read it for themselves. Now, real quick, do you recommend people watch this movie?
Yes.
With a caveat.
But.
Yes.
Bring that filter.
Okay.
Should I go into explicitly why?
Yes, I think so.
Okay, good. There is full frontal female nudity in this film. Now, that being said, my experience was that it did not create a sense of, oh, I'm looking at a naked woman. When this moment in the movie comes, you're scared.
Okay.
You are kind of terrified. It's just part of the product of.
Can we say that something
of Nathan's creativity?
Uncanny.
Yeah, please, Michael. Please, you've already dropped
no,
that.
No,
you've
no.
dropped it twice. You've dropped that line twice, Michael.
No, I'm gonna just let it lie there like a dog.
Uncanny Valley. Just look it up, guys.
Look up the Uncanny Valley.
So yes, there is full frontal nudity. But, and of course, there's language because it's two millennials trying to outwit each other. Because
you can't make a movie nowadays without bad language.
Exactly.
And us and Steve Rogers don't think it has to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but anyway, so there you go.
So anyway, yeah, bring those filters, caveat spectator, but Yes, you should definitely go see this movie.
Okay. Okay. Anything else in our quick updates?
Oh, I just restarted reading or re-listening to Max McLean's Pilgrim's Progress.
Oh.
I'm getting back into it. Yeah. I don't know why. It's just coming up recently. But anyway, that's all on that.
You got to go and revisit that book quite often. There's a lot there to chew on. But, Brendan, it's been a long time. It's hot here in the studio. I could use a nice cold drink and maybe some AC blowing on me. Do you want to go to the movies?
Oh, sure. Why not?
All right.
Day one, Greeny. Rise and shine.
What is this place?
Can you tell me your name?
I can't remember anything.
Who put us here? We don't know.
What's out there?
The maze.
Everyone, when those doors open,
the runners look for a way out. No one has ever survived a night in the maze.
What happens to them?
We don't belong here. I think it's time we find out what we're really up against.
Everything started changing the moment you showed up.
It's a girl.
Thomas.
Why are we different?
What if we were sent here for a reason?
You're not like the others. You're curious. But if you want to stay here, I need to know that you're going to follow the rules.
I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to talk about this movie.
Yes.
Well, you know, we had planned on covering this a couple of months ago, went into the plans, and then I started reading the books, read the original trilogy. I'm still in the prequel book that came out afterwards, but able to get this film, watched it a few more times, and I love it. I love this story. And Brendan, they changed it up. It's changed up quite a bit from the book, you know. And so usually that gets me all up in arms, right? I've proved it time and time again.
Usually.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
In this case, I agree with my wife, and the changes that they made were not detrimental and make for a good movie. But, I mean, there are definitely glaring, like, wow, that's totally different. I mean, that's different. But I loved it. And it's exciting. Probably for me, it might even be the most exciting of the young adult fiction films that I can think of. I really love The Giver. I think that's a great movie, too. Getting ready to read that book series. But obviously, the king of them all is Hunger Games, of the young adult.
The popular king.
Yeah, yeah. It's, and I love him.
It's the king in the sense... where the people of Israel
by default
kept crying for a king, and then
so are you saying it's the Saul?
God finally said, "All right, here you go."
Okay, well then,
this
okay.
is what you want.
I'll give you that. It does stand head and shoulders above everybody else in the land, but I don't know. Now, of course, I haven't seen the Divergent movie, but all accounts say I don't need to. Big shout out though. Because there's some fantastic acting in this, and I want to get your feedback on some of these. And it's the big three. Dylan O'Brien as Thomas.
Yeah.
Will Poulter as Galley, which I've only ever seen him as Eustace in Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And he was amazing in that as a little kid. That came out, what, in 2010, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he's all grown up now. He's a big man.
Yeah, there must have been some fluoride in his drinking water.
Yeah, and what I love is when you watch the special features of Voyage of the Dawn Treader, they were interviewing the other kids, you know, the Pevensies that you know, were already involved in these films, you know, the two girls, Lucy and Susan.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were talking about Will Poulter and just saying what a gentleman he is. He, at least at that time in his life, very soft-spoken, very polite. They would be, you know, rehearsing for a scene, for sword fight, whatever, and he'd always be, oh, I'm sorry, did I hurt you? I'm sorry, you know, he, that kind of a person.
Hey, that's the kind of actor that directors like to work with.
Well, and I hope that he's still like that as a person. His portrayal as Galley, I mean, great acting, the nuance that he was able to act with through.
Yeah.
But he is, as we reported on, I think the last episode.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
he is Pennywise the clown
he will be.
Well,
he has already been cast as the new Pennywise.
Yes.
For the
remake
cinematic retelling.
Well, it's a cinematic debut actually.
Yeah, because the first one was a TV
miniseries.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway,
of Stephen King's It. I don't know if we said that or not.
But it goes without saying. Pennywise the clown. Everybody should know who that is.
It goes without saying.
Oh, and then the third shout out I want to give to is Thomas Brody Sangster.
Yes, sir. This guy right here.
As Newt. And I've only seen him in Nanny McPhee. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I mean, he does all kinds of stuff and probably the most famous Game of Thrones, a recurring role in Game of Thrones I've never watched.
Yeah.
But those three guys, I think that they've got it. And I know for Will Poulter, Thomas Brody Sangster, I'll be seeing them on the screen for the rest of my life. Those guys, staying power, star mm-hmm. power. And then Dylan O'Brien may fall into the teen idol trap. Because there's...
Oh, you think so?
It's possible. Not by his doing, but because that's what happens when you have all the, you know, 15-year-old girls in the world, you know, with a huge crush on you, then all of a sudden you don't have a stand a chance to get out of that.
Right.
So we'll hope otherwise. What are some of your initial thoughts on this film?
Well, I liked it. Again, you know, we talk about young dystopian stories all the time, or young adult dystopian stories all the time. This one, I kind of liked it in that it kind of had that Lord of the Flies, no adults at all.
Yeah, yep.
Effect to it.
Yep.
And you kind of see this, just talking about the story itself, you kind of see this, how they've, in a sense, invented their own social structure.
Right.
You've got the runners, you've got the doodads and the hee-haws. And
the slicers.
Yeah,
you have the Medjacks. There's all kinds of different groups, and they each have a keeper, which is the boss, basically.
Right. Yeah. That Mijo one guy
is the keeper of the runners.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
It's just kind of cool. I really like the story. This being my first viewing into it, first experience with it, I'm interested to see how differently the book is, or how different the book is, because you know, like you said, they're not so different. The differences aren't so huge that you're like, it's just like a side effect. Oh man, that was different, but it kind of feels the same, you know?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see the differences because it's been my experience that with differences like that, it's always much more powerful in the book.
Well, read the books.
Okay.
I think you'll really enjoy them. It's an easy read, and once you know, you already know everybody because from the movie.
Yeah.
So it's because there's a lot of characters.
I already have a picture, a face with each character. So,
but the thing is that when I'm watching this film, there are so many Christian themes, biblical themes throughout it that this is a movie that I would like to, you know, spend multiple episodes on, which often happens here on Finding Christ in Cinema. Because Brendan and I, we have no shortage of words and analysis here.
No.
That's why we do this movie. I'm looking forward to the next one. That's a little teaser for a little bit later on in the show. What else do you want to say before we jump into it?
Let's see. There's not really anything else.
Did I miss anybody in getting shout outs? Did anybody that you thought that
the guy that played Chuck, that kid.
Yeah.
I thought he was pretty cool.
He's a very important character in the films. I mean in the books, sorry.
Well now Michael.
What?
Hold on.
Huh.
Do we need to press the spoiler alert real quick?
Oh, well, we should press the spoiler alert regardless. It's a relatively new movie. If you have not watched Maze Runner, stop the podcast. Go and watch it. We'll be here when you get back. And now that you're back. But
continuing our discussion about Chuck.
Yes.
Is he in any other books?
Tangentially. No, I'm not saying it. Yeah, in a way.
Tangentially.
Yes.
This is your milieu. How poignant of you. Red leather, yellow leather.
Yes. What was it last?
Irish wishwatch.
What was it last episode? Ominous.
I can't remember. Ominous.
I kept saying ominous.
So okay, wait. What do you mean tangentially? Like
he is plays a big role in what drives Thomas.
Oh, okay.
They had a much more powerful relationship in the book, and that's the thing about the book is the relationships.
See, okay, so now I'm sold. Like, yeah. Definitely.
So
I even have an Audible credit.
Yeah, well, use it on it. And guess what you're going to do with your next credit? You'll get Scorched Trials. And then, yeah.
And then was Death Cure?
Yes.
Death Cure?
Yep. And, I mean, really, Brendan, yeah, the relationship between Thomas and Chuck is much deeper in the book and much more poignant and is a motivator.
Okay.
So, really neat.
Ooh, really cool. Okay.
And also the way that he dies, the way that Chuck dies in the book, they changed that radically in here. They changed.
Oh, don't.
Okay. They changed. Here's something that I loved in the book, and I wish it was in the movie. Was the cliff? There's a spot in the maze that they get to that Thomas and Minho found where it's. There's a door in the side of the maze, and it just you look down and you see into nothingness, and they start throwing, you know, Thomas is sitting there, he's throwing rocks just out into the nothingness, and he's just, you know, what is this? What's going on in this realm? But then he throws it a little bit further, and all of a sudden the rock disappears. I mean, like, as soon as he throws it out there, it hits a particular, gets to a particular point and disappears. And this is called the cliff. They would take people, bad people that broke the laws out there, and you toss them off the cliff.
Oh, that could tie into the Theo and Austin episode.
But it turns out to where he's, all of a sudden, you know, he's throwing rocks around, and he discovers it's this, you know, square by square hole into nothingness. And when they make the leap, you know, that's what leads to, that's where the grievers go during the day.
Ooh.
So it's not this big old concrete tube or whatever that they go to. Yeah. Really, really. There are a lot of creepy things. Also, okay, we already hit the spoiler alert, right? The maze is, I'm just going to give all kinds of spoilers. Everybody just know that I'm going to just throw out some of the things that are different. So if you don't want to hear these things, then just go listen to another podcast.
But come back.
The maze is underground.
What?
The sky is fake.
What?
It never rains there. Ben, they mixed up Ben and Gally's character, and I know why they did that mix up in certain ways, because Will Poulter is a bigger name than the guy that played Ben. But I forgot to say, and I didn't even look up his name, I'm sorry, sir, young man, that guy did a fantastic job as Ben when he's in the changing.
Which one was?
He's the one that got banished.
The one that got stung first?
Yes, and got banished.
Okay.
I thought he did a great job doing that, because I'm sitting there thinking, you know, gosh, I like to play and I like to act and stuff, but I don't think I'd do as good a job as what he did, you know, as going through the changing. But anyway, so they mixed up those two characters a lot. And I can't remember all the different ways, but so Gally, he runs into the maze at a particular point, says, I'm out of here, and goes into the maze. And then he reappears at the end there. There's a lot of differences, but again, you know, big ones, it doesn't rain. It's underground. The maze is underground. There's the cliff. That's really, I know there's a whole lot more.
Is the Glade underground?
Oh, yeah. The whole thing is underground.
The whole thing.
Yep.
Man.
Yep.
Oh, that. Okay. All right.
Whatever. And so that's when you know, when you go and find out what's above ground is what you see at the end of the movie, and that is the Scorch. Everything is nasty up there. So anyway, that's just some of the spoilers, some of the differences. Let's see. Anything else I can... Well, I told you about Chuck and his character and the relationship. But, Brendan, let's just jump into it, because I don't know about you. Were you able to find any Christian themes in this? Any tools that we can impart on folks?
Yeah, and the bad thing about not doing the show for a week is that I've had extra time to mull it over. And my point kind of grew from what it was.
Yeah.
But, well, hey, that's... If that's the nature of the beast,
hey,
let the beast come on.
All right.
So anyway,
this the longest episode ever.
get ready for your Rocky and Bullwinkle titles. A glade where there is no vision, or not so doubting Thomas.
Oh,
good. And now for something completely different.
No. And
now for something you really like.
Yes. Sorry, John.
John Cleese. Yes. Okay, so anyway, let's talk about life in the Glade for a little bit.
Okay.
And we've already kind of talked about it. It's got this Lord of the Flies feel, no adult supervision. And we kind of get this image into what humanity could be if it's left to govern itself, if it's autonomous.
Okay.
Hmm.
All right.
Hey, Theonauts.
Oh, autonomy. Brendan's dropping hints.
Yes. They're not theonomous. They're autonomous. They're trying to govern themselves. There's not an outside greater God being giving the law. It's these guys trying to form the law for themselves. The only thing about this there's several things that's bad, but ultimately what's the worst is that there is no vision for this glade.
And how do you mean?
Well, what I mean is they don't have a vision for how to survive in the long run. They're just trying to get by. By crawling.
They're just trying to get by.
They're just trying to get by. They're crawling. They're trying to sustain themselves. Like I said, they're trying to be autonomous, but in the worst way. And it makes me think of the proverb in chapter 29, verse 18 in the King James, where there is no vision, the people perish. So ultimately, there's this thing of, hey, if we don't try to survive now, we're going to die. But we're eventually going to die anyway because we're not looking out for ourselves in the long run. Enter Thomas. He's a young guy who literally has these visions of life on the outside. In these dreams that he has, he's having these visions of this laboratory, of these tests that are being done. And then, oddly enough, when people get stung, who do they get mad at? Thomas. Because this stinging, this injection, it kind of helps them remember what was before. Happened with Ben, happened with Albie. Oh, we didn't talk about Albie.
Aldi?
Was it Aldi or Albie?
Yeah, Albie.
Yeah, Albie. Albie. Whatever.
Short for Albert Einstein. Another spoiler there.
Get
those names, they're not their names.
Get out of there. What?
Yeah.
Michael, are you
Newton? Isaac Newton. Thomas, I think is Thomas Edison. Albert Einstein. Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah.
Well, Galley.
I can't remember. Galileo or something. Oh! I don't know. I can't remember.
Is that in the book?
Oh, yeah. The book. Friends, it's always better.
Oh, man. Oh, my.
You heard
blown.
It here first.
Okay. But anyway, Thomas has all these visions. Now, the thing about the Proverbs verse, other translations say where there is no prophetic vision. Now, real talk question, Michael. Could Thomas's visions be seen as prophetic? I'm just asking you, just off the cuff.
Well, it depends on how you're defining prophecy in this case.
Okay. Then I knew you might say that.
Okay.
Prophetic in the sense that it is unveiling,
yeah,
and revelatory.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Prophecy also, well, actually, I'll save that point.
There's so many different ways to define prophecy. It depends on the context, right?
Well, yeah. In this sense, though, Thomas has these visions of life on the outside of the glade,
yeah,
and outside the maze. And because he knows that there's something out there, he can feel it. He has that stirring within him, but he's not given a complete picture.
Right.
So in a sense, he has to have faith that if he just follows what little bits of information he gets from these visions, then he will eventually know the full answer.
Yeah.
And that makes me think of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the confidence.
We've used that quite often here. Yes.
So many times. Faith is the confidence in that which we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see.
I love that reading out of the New Living Translation.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah,
I mean, that is it succinctly. It's the confidence for what we hope for that it will actually happen.
Yeah.
That's what hope is. It's confidence.
Mm-hmm. And all these other guys in the glade, they're just spinning their wheels.
Yes.
And in a sense, you know, they're spinning it in mud and they're not going anywhere. They're hamsters, which ultimately is kind of what they are, because this whole thing is a test.
Right.
They've been observed. They are being observed, whatever verb tense that is. They're being observed.
They have been, they are being.
Yeah. They have, are, been, being.
Yeah.
they're being watched this whole time. And Thomas has this vision, and he has this stirring within him that motivates him to want to see.
He has what?
Not tell anyone else of your burstings.
He has some burstings. And he can't keep those burstings to himself. That's what lands him in the pit for a little while.
Yes.
Because he wants to run off in the maze when he's not a
runner.
He's not an elected runner.
Yeah.
Obviously.
No, he's just not a runner.
He's just not a runner, period.
Okay.
What's going on? And he wants to see what is beyond this barricade. Les Mis.
Nice.
Oh, that was the like that.
Episode 25 of Finding Christ in Cinema Friends.
And he wants to go on, but he knows that, and this is so beautifully set up with the presence of the grievers, and not, and well, let's face it, the people in the glade, they associate the grievers with death.
Oh, now you're getting into...
Well, I know, that's a segue. Okay. That's a segue. So I'm getting ready to toss it to you. So get ready. Get your catcher's mitt ready.
All right.
Thomas now knows that if they're going to have to get through the maze, they're going to have to suffer.
Ah.
But he believes, and he has faith, that what's on the other side of the maze, that glory
is, yes,
worth so much more than the suffering they'll endure in the maze. And with that, I'll hand it over to you.
Oh, and then we'll get then you're going to take over at the end there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because I have titled my section here, "Where, O Griever, is your victory? Where, O Griever, is your sting?"
Oh, and that is one of the most poignant titles I've ever heard. Go ahead.
Because that's what they fear, is that sting. See, the glade maze, little dichotomy there, is the world. It's the world. It's the world that we live in, Brendan. Grievers mean one thing, death. Death. And they deliver that. The gladers are trying to preserve themselves in life and save themselves from death. That is that hamster wheel that you were talking about. That's all they're concerned with. Yes?
I was just going to add on, I kind of meant to make this point earlier, but uh-huh, I think it's so good now. Their entire sort of social structure, their life, is based on not dying at the hands of the grievers.
Yeah.
That's why you're never allowed to stay in the maze. If you're in the maze, you got to run out.
Yep.
If you're exploring and you come across a griever.
But see, Brendan, every name that's on that wall, will eventually be crossed out.
Yeah.
Every name will eventually be crossed out. It takes the coming of Thomas to conquer the maze. Conquer. Remember that word. It takes the coming of Thomas to conquer the Grievers. And it takes the coming of Thomas to lead the Gladers through death to life. But in order to do that, you have to follow Thomas. Got to follow him. Another neat thing in the book, Brendan, is that he knew from the moment he even heard about runners that he was meant to be a runner. He says, I need to be a runner. And there's a lot of inner dialogue dedicated to that.
See, another reason.
There you go. But here's the problem. As Hank Williams put it, I'll never get out of this world alive. Or maybe Jim Morrison, you know, to get in line with the kind of stuff that you like to listen to.
Wait, who?
5-1, baby. 1-5. No one here gets out alive. Okay. That's the world. That's the world that we're in. No one gets out alive.
Or, can we just take it to Gollum real quick?
Yes.
This thing, all things devours. Birds, beasts, trees, flowers. Yep. Now, obviously, now the answer to that riddle is time. But it's insinuating that everything dies in time.
Yeah, the natural order of things is that there's a one-to-one correlation of life and death. Okay? Now, Ben, we met Ben, and Ben got stung by a griever. And so Ben is going to die. That's what happens. But something, you know, even uglier happens to start off with. And as Thomas is out there in the woods, and he's doing whatever he needs to be doing, going out looking for peat moss, or I don't know what it was, fertilizer for Newt's garden.
Oh, yeah. He says, you want to make yourself useful?
And he...
Go get some more fertilizer.
And he encounters Ben, a wild-eyed Ben who attacks him.
Ben, right? I don't know if we ever... Are you okay?
Oh, get the hell off me!
It's your fault.
I saw you. You did that. I saw you!
He had some visions, too. Anyway, he's stung by a griever. He's going to die. He's going to die. And we know this with this little interchange between Thomas and Chuck.
You think you might make it?
Ben?
Now, just to let you know, Ben, they banished him to the maze. Or what would really have happened was they would take him to the cliff and throw him over the cliff. But he's been banished, and Thomas is concerned about him. He was Ben attacked Thomas, but Thomas is concerned about Ben and his well-being. He asks Chuck, do you think he's going to make it out there overnight in the maze?
No. No one survives a night in the maze. You just got to forget about him.
That's how the world works. No one survives a night in the maze. Thomas, you're better off just forgetting about him. Forget that you ever knew Ben. He's gone. He's a goner. He's been stung. And what happens when you get stung by a griever? You know, it's going to lead to death one way or another. Well, anyway, so you have Albie. Albie wants to go out and find out what happened. Why did he get stung in the middle of the day? Why did Ben get stung by a griever in the middle of the day? And so he and Minho and maybe some of the other runners at this point, I can't remember in the film when most of the runners quit, but they go out there and in order to find out, well, I know that there's other runners at this point in the film, but Albie wants to go out, find out what is going on. Albie himself enters into the maze, and they are waiting for the end of the day for them to come back, because at nightfall is when the walls close, right?
They should be back by now. What happens if they don't make it?
They're gonna make it.
And what happens if they don't?
Gonna make it.
See, now
Newt is saying they're going to make it. Newt is in that same category of all these gladers that you were talking about, and you mentioned something about their own law. They created their own law. It's not something that came from outside. It's something that they created themselves, and that is the natural state of man. Man is trying to save himself. We're trying to, hey, we'll do it ourselves. We'll grow our own food. We'll do all these things. We can do it ourselves. We only have ourselves to rely on. Nobody from the outside is coming in to save us, right? We don't even expect that to happen. And Newt is just echoing that. They have three rules, right? There's three rules that Albie explains to Thomas on his first day there. Number one is you do your part, okay? None of this works if we have freeloaders. Everybody does their part. The second thing is you don't do any harm to fellow gladers. None of this works if we can't trust each other. And then the third rule is you never, ever go into the maze. Do not cross those walls and go in there. Those are the rules that were set forth by Albie and the other gladers. That's what everybody operates under in order to keep kicking the can down the road, keep the ball rolling, stay on that hamster wheel.
Getting along to go along.
Yes. So, of course, that's going to be Newt's answer, because even if he doesn't believe it to be so, still got to say it. We got to operate under these pretenses.
Oh, now that, sir, please shake the dust off that word. Shake the dust, sir.
Well, that goes all the way back to the beginning of Finding Christ in Cinema. What episode was it when we first started talking about Wizard of Oz? Like two?
Three.
Okay. Because
it was three and four.
And there you go.
Which, oddly enough, add up to make seven. Am I right, David Gaddy?
Wow, numerology. Okay, so, but his concern got the best of them. Everybody ends up at the gates in order to be looking. Where is Albie and Minho? Where are they? And here, now the doors are starting to close. And here they can see, coming from around the corner, one person dragging another person. And gets around a corner, is coming, trying to get to the gate. And as they get closer, they can see that is Minho that is dragging Albie, and they're yelling because nobody's going to cross that threshold. That would be breaking the law. It's death in there. It's death in there. We're trying to stay alive. We know our name is going to be crossed off the wall at some point, but it's not going to be right now because I'm not going in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Thomas, the one who's going to conquer the maze, the one that's going to conquer the grievers, the one that's going to lead the gladers through death to life. If you follow him, he can't stand for this. Somebody has to do something. Something is better than nothing as far as he is concerned. And at the very last minute, he enters in to sin and death. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, man, it's amazing. So anyway, he gets in there, and as soon as the walls close, he sees Minho in there with Albie on the ground. What's the first thing that Minho says?
You've died.
Yeah, congratulations. You've just killed yourself.
Yeah.
Who do I think Thomas is a picture of? Have I set it up yet? To make it clear where I'm going with Thomas. Just a couple more things. A couple more things before we get to the climax of this. When Thomas is spending his night in prison, and Chuck comes to him and brings him some food, and Chuck shows him the little totem that he made.
That little paraclete.
Made it for my parents. Yeah, that little paraclete. You remember your parents? No, of course I don't. But I've got to have some, right? And wherever they are right now, they've got to be worried about me. Take this, Thomas, because I know he can already see what's in Thomas. I already know what's in you. Take this and give it to my parents when you get out. No. Thomas places it back in Chuck's hand. He says, I want you to give that to them yourself. We're going to get out of here. All of us. Okay? I promise. But now, after Albie got stung, or when he, we just saw him, we just told about him getting stung, but when he comes out of it after getting that serum and whatnot, what does he say to Thomas? We can't leave. They won't let us. And why does he say that? Going back to your hamster wheel. What's that hamster wheel?
It's just spinning in the same place.
It's, and isn't that a form of bondage?
Ooh.
Isn't that a form of bondage to sin?
Yeah.
Oh, we can't leave because out there is the sting of death, which is sin. So we're in bondage. Being held in by sin. They're going to die no matter what. That's what happens with sin. But, so here comes Thomas. Now he's out there in the maze, he and Minho, and all kinds of well-mannered frivolity.
Well-mannered frivolity.
Takes place, no?
It's a little more serious.
Oh, than, are you saying no frivolity?
Yeah, there was no frivolity. There was no frivolity in that.
So, let's just jump to it. The night ends with a dead griever.
Yeah. With dead death.
With a dead griever. Thanks to the doing of Thomas. And they come back out. When they make it out the next day, they were in there all night long. A long night. Night with ebon pinions. There were black wings over them that night. Huh.
What?
David Gaddy knows what I'm talking about. And so that's all that matters.
Man.
They come back and come out in the morning time. And everybody, what happened in there? What happened in there? And Chuck, you know, Chuck asked the question that everybody wants to ask.
You saw a griever?
Yeah, I saw one. He didn't just see it. He killed it.
Yeah, I saw one. No, he didn't just see one. He killed it. Mm. For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57, or 55 and through 57 in the New Living Translation. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Thomas, Jesus Christ. I had to say that to make the point.
I know.
I know. You don't like you, that graded you the wrong way.
Yeah.
Let me back up again.
Well, no, go ahead. No, don't need to back up. I understand.
No, well.
Well, for the benefit of the listener, back up.
Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so your acorn for this episode from me, your acorn is that dead griever. Because we're going to look at it again and get some more information off of it. But you just turn to your friend and your loved one while you're sitting on
double-decker couch.
Say, that griever right there looks like an acorn to me. What?
You can stick it in your pocket.
Yes.
And plant it in your garden when you get back to the Shire.
You can remember all the things.
All the things. Yes.
So when you are sitting on your double-decker couch and you're pointing out that griever looking like an acorn and they say, just remember John chapter 16, verse 33 out of the New Living Translation. I have told you all this, Jesus says, so that you may have peace in me here on earth, here in the glade, here in the maze, here in life, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome, or as the New Living, New English Translation says, conquered the world. For I have conquered the world. What is the world? The world's the glade and the maze, and it ends in death. So I see Thomas as Jesus coming down, entering into the world he created. Oh, well, you don't know that about the books, do you? Oh, the books. Thomas helped design the maze.
Okay, that may throw a monkey wrench and
oh no, I monkey wrenched him.
Well, okay. I think it's acceptable to establish Thomas as a Christ figure. I better understand Thomas as a believer.
Okay.
I think
we'll see that in the next one.
Okay, well, hey, there you go. And that's why I went with the title Not So Doubting Thomas, because he has these stirrings within him that motivate
him. Wait, what does
him.
He have within him?
Not tell anyone else of your burstings.
He has these burstings within him that motivate him, that drive him to seek out what's beyond the maze. And of course, those once he gets in
and
the
that,
maze.
I'm not arguing with him. Yeah, yeah. Very valid.
Yeah.
I'm just saying in his way of Christ is that he has to enter in order to conquer death, because we can't.
Well, we all do. We all follow that suit, don't we?
Well, if you like I said, the premise is that that he will lead the grievers through the gladers through death to life, but you have to follow him.
Yeah, that's true, and that's he puts that to the gladers in that final dramatic scene where it's Galley and the rest, and it's Thomas and his little crew, as we'll hear in this clip.
You're full of surprises, aren't you?
You don't have to come with us, but we are leaving.
Anyone else who wants to come, that's your last chance.
Don't listen to him. He's just trying to scare you.
No, I'm not trying to scare you. You're already scared. All right? I'm scared. But I'd rather risk my life out there than spending the rest of it in here. We don't belong here. Hey, this place isn't our home. We were put here. Hey, we were trapped here. At least out there, we have a choice. We can make it out of here. I know that.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the maze.
That doesn't rhyme. That's not how the song was written. Michael. Anyway, so a lot of stuff in this one little clip. It's a little powerhouse. Don't listen to him. He's just trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you. You're already scared.
Yep.
As we've already talked about, this whole social structure has been established on the foundation of the fear of dying. And that isn't that so poignant. There we go again. For how life on this world is.
It's bondage. Fear is another form of bondage.
Yeah, it's holding us down.
Yep.
You're already scared. And see, now this is where it could be as minute a point as this, but this is where I would say Thomas comes through more as a believer, more so than a Christ figure. He says, I'm scared, but I'd rather risk my... Yeah, I'd rather risk my
Father,
life.
Father, take this cup from me. See, no, hey, wait, it's
that's,
okay.
That's another
he
point.
Can be both. He can be both.
He can be both.
I'm just giving a little nugget. You're telling the grand narrative.
I'm trying to go for the big thing. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
I'm not going for a perfect parallel. I'm not going for a similitude. I'm not going for... Well, I guess I am going for a similitude. This is what it's like. Here, let me show you what Jesus did in common language, or in the language of the Maze Runner. Took an outsider coming in.
Yeah. Well, then it could be both, really.
Oh no! Yeah. No, so, I'm loving your point. Don't get me wrong.
See, this is what fisticuffs means at FCC.
I can't deal with this kind of tension.
We're saying the same thing. We're just taking the long way to get to it.
He has no respect for me. He's a kid. I could be his dad.
What? Anyway. All right, Dad. Anyway. And of course, he says, I'd rather risk my life out there than spend the rest of it in here. I don't want to be
And don't get me wrong, I love the point that you're making. It's an excellent point. So
Okay. We don't belong here. This place isn't our home. There's that song. Yep. We were put here and we're trapped here. At least out there, we have a choice. And this is where it's most beautifully put. We can make it out of here. I know that. That's mm-hmm. that faith
oh, yeah.
that he has.
Hope, that hope, that confidence.
Yes, and just to get back to the point I made earlier, in order to make it out of this maze, they're going to have to suffer a little bit. And of course, as you see the film...
Oh, there's a lot of suffering that goes on.
You'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my key text for if you want a double-decker couch moment. You know.
Oh, okay, here you go.
Double-decker couch.
Romans 8. Of course, it's always Romans. Always.
So, always Romans with this guy.
No.
Oh.
Oh. Anyway. Romans 8, 17 and 18. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share in his glory, we must also share in his suffering. That's verse 17.
Boy, that also made my point.
Yes, it does. Yes. And I love how in most translations, these two verses are separated by a paragraph break and a new title.
Except in what? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
All the ones I looked at, there is a definite paragraph break here. Verse 18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. And that's Jonas. That's Thomas's whole modus operandi.
Yeah.
He's operating in the faith that something is better. Where they're at leads to nothing but death. He understands that they'll have to suffer for a little bit.
Oh.
They'll have to suffer through the maze and what lies on the periphery of the maze, as we'll learn in the Scorch Trials. We'll all learn. But hey, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that awaits for us.
Amen. Amen. Oh, man. When you get to the end of the series, then when you know the beginning from the end, you'd sit back and look at this and this little conversation that we had. It's just like, oh, my goodness, we could do just as the story arc is. Wow. I would encourage anybody. If you haven't read the Maze Runner series, oh, it's a good one. Anything else? Any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off the wall remarks? Anything else? You want to tell me more about how I'm wrong? Anything?
Oh,
like
Michael,
that?
I was just saying that's how I understand it.
Yeah, no, it's good. My feelings aren't that hurt.
Fisticuffs.
Yeah,
this is what fisticuffs are.
Kids these days, no respect for their elders.
Oh, now hey, according to. That guy on Twitter, we have a tremendous amount of respect for each other.
Well, he didn't know that we do a show together.
Oh, the surprises.
It's a great movie, great themes, and you know we're going to be excited to hear some of your thoughts on it as well. Brendan, that's it then, huh?
Yeah, that's it. Joseph. Oh, we got feedback!
We do! I put out a call on the last episode, groveled. All that's depleted, all that good stuff, and we got some answers here. First up, FCC's very own David Gaddy of the Theonauts.
I would venture to say GCTN's very own.
But he said FCC because he's been on FCC, and he wants to be counted amongst Brendan Gleeson and Tom Hanks and all the other.
Oh, well, who wouldn't want to be?
And I say... Take the premier seat, David Gaddy. Here, move on up, right up here to the front.
Yes, yes, thank you.
He left a comment or sent us an email via the ChristInCinema.com contact page. There was too many C's there. Says, hey guys, I don't leave enough feedback for you, but you sure deserve some, so here goes. Finding Christ in Cinema is a dream show for me because... I used to think that I was the only one trying to find Christ in cinema. My friends and family are probably sick to death of hearing me examine the movies we watch. Like, I specifically remember watching the movie Gravity with my wife. She hates edge of your seat tension, so she really disliked the film.
She's going to dislike Ex Machina, I'm just going to tell you right now.
However, I spent the whole ride home telling her that it was all metaphoric of being born again and the struggles of that birth. She looked at me like I was crazy. Now, thanks to you guys, I know I'm not.
Hey!
See, we offer psychological help as well here on Finding Christ in Cinema. But he continues, Brendan. I try to listen to each show, even if I haven't seen the selected film. And when I'm not in the chat room live, I get frustrated because I always want to put in my two cents of banter with you guys. I know exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
David and I are cut from the same cloth. On behalf of Jeremiah and myself, I also want to thank you for all the bones you tossed to our show. It has been amazing partnering with you on the GCT network. Looking forward to a long and fruitful venture with you guys, Lord willing. God bless you both, your good friend and brother, David Gaddy. And all the kids say, it's no small secret how much both Brendan and I love David and Jeremiah. They are a blessing to us and just wonderful, great part. I couldn't think of better partners in the ministry here.
Yeah.
I really can't.
And before we move on to the next feedback,
yeah,
we got to plug in their new show, their new episode of The Theonauts, Law and Christianity.
Okay.
And I was listening to it on the way in. This was the first episode in a long time where I've actually had to stop, have a moment of silence, and go back and listen to what was just said because I wanted to make sure I got it. Now, that being said, it's a little deep, but guys, as in Theonauts, home runs all around.
Really? Like big grand slam style?
Yeah, sure.
Like as in David and Jeremiah step up to the plate. Here comes the Theo baseball. It's they hit it. It's going. It's over the wall, the kids.
Yes. Yes. And guys, as in listeners, guys and gals, just go check it out.
Oh, if you don't listen to the Theonauts,
get over there.
Yeah, we would love to hear a valid excuse because I can't think of one.
Well, anyway, moving on with our feedback.
Yes,
patron Saint Philip once again going to King Philip Stables.
Click,
yes,
click, 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 clippity, cloppity, clippity. Why don't we have the I mean, it's right. I can just clip it from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah,
I just
you can. Click, clip, clip, clip. Right, shall we add that to the list?
No.
He starts off 3 Mouiladd Gimleys in one episode. You'd think it was my birthday, not John Rhys-Davies. Anyway, that was my impression of Philip telling a joke.
Oh, brother. Thanks. I'm here all week.
Yeah.
Trying to feel.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the puns were outstanding.
Yes.
I'm a firm believer that if your pun was not intended, it should have been. Now, one thing I got from this episode, talking about our last episode with Harry Potter and Order of the Phoenix, one thing I got from this episode was more of your analysis of the Order of the Phoenix than the film itself.
Okay.
Hmm. With Harry Potter being controversial and divisive to a certain extent, I think you guys have done an excellent job of pulling biblical truth out of the series in general, and of this film in particular. Philippians 4:8 from the American Standard Version.
And I love a man that will quote from the ASV. That's one of my very favorite translations.
Well, there you go. Philippians 4:8 from the ASV says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things."
Yes.
And that's just what you did, which is one of the reasons I love the podcast so much. Keep up the good work. # Mouiladd Gimli.
Yes.
And then he caps off with Galatians 6:9.
Which is?
I gotta find out.
That's carry one another's burdens, right?
No, that's good. That's 6:2.
Oh goodness! Oh man, I shouldn't have said that out loud. Makes me what a maroon! I need to listen to the Theonauts is what I need to do. What a maroon, as Bugs Bunny would say.
Oh, Man, okay, I'm going to, you know what, because he quoted the ASV, I'm going to go to the ASV.
Do it.
My my Bible Gateway account is locked into the NLT.
Yeah.
So I got to change up if anything else happens.
You
know what I mean?
And he's doing it on the fly here, friends. Yes. Live broadcasting.
Galatians 6:9, and let us not be weary in well-doing.
Oh, yes. And
for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
And Ron has laid that one on us before, too. I think they're trying to send us a message. Hey. More Gimli.
My wee lot Gimli.
Nice. And as always, patron Saint Philip, thank you so much for your feedback. We got a voicemail on our SpeakPipe account.
Wait, we have a voicemail?
We have many of them, and we'll talk about that at the end of the show. But first, let's hear, once again, audibly, from John Wilkerson of thewiredhomeschool.com.
Hey, Michael and Brendan, John Wilkerson here. And I just wanted to comment upon your comments about not getting comments. Man, I know how you feel, Michael, as a fellow podcaster. And I have to admit that I am not a regular commenter on podcasts because I'm quite critical of the way podcasts are produced. And most of my comments and thoughts tend to lean more towards how the show was produced and things like that. And I don't think that's something that's good for public consumption. But I will say this. You guys do an excellent bang-up job. Every single week, you are always full of energy. You are always knowledgeable about the topic. And you both approach these movies from points of view that seem to be from left field. And that's a good thing, because I think typically Christians approach movies and themes in one particular way, the way that they've always been taught, the way that they've always taught it. And the fact that you guys are taking a new, fresh look at these movies, the themes that are in them, and how they relate to our faith is wonderful. Keep up the great work, guys.
What a encouraging voicemail.
Yeah.
Understanding what it is that we are, what our mission here is. As the Blues Brothers would say, we're on a mission from God, right? And we're able to do these things and watch the movies and pull these themes out, and therefore we must, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I am totally on the same page as you, John Wilkerson. See, and he's also like David Getty and I. John is in the same age range as I am. And so people in our age range, we think a little bit differently than kids such as Brendan here.
Hey, come on, man.
And where he says that he doesn't like to leave comments because it's usually geared towards the actual production of the show, I'm with you 100%. And I mean, I'm a stinker. And I know what I want to hear in a show. I try and produce the kind of show that I want to hear. All the shows that I've ever done, I don't care what other people really like to hear. I want to produce what I like to hear. Growing up listening to radio and loving performance art, audio theater, and all of those types of things. And man, I could be easily critical on other people. But then I always remember that one thing that my dad told me when I thought that I was a hot shot young adolescent. Remember, there's always somebody bigger and badder. So the last thing I want to do is tell somebody, hey, you really need to work on the way that you do your show, and then, you know, have somebody come along and tell me that same thing. Who wants to do that? But John, your thoughts are always...
Hey, Michael.
We were going to listen to him again. Always appreciated. And now... He said they wasn't going to criticize, and then he immediately called back with a criticism.
Hey, Michael, this is John again. Just one other thing. It's Kevin Feige, not Feige. He answered in a Reddit AMA that his name is pronounced Feige. So that's just kind of a nitpick point for me. Sorry. Like I said, I tend to be critical of the way podcasts are produced. So seriously, though, you're doing a great job, Michael. And God bless.
And the blame lies squarely on Brendan because he didn't correct me on Feige.
Well, see, that's the thing. I didn't know. No, see, I also thought it was Feige.
Yeah. Well, because... it's much like Rafe Fiennes. pronounce your name the way it's spelled. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, come on, Ralph.
Yeah.
Come on, Ralph.
I can't help it if you want to come. Yes. Harkening back to Monty Python, let me borrow from them. Yes, my name is spelled Michael Hansen, but it's pronounced Luxury Yacht.
What? Oh, man.
That's Michael T between you and me. The T is for Todd. We're terrific.
I don't know.
T's my middle initial.
Right.
And it just is easier to say between you and me with Michael T.
Because it rhymes.
Yeah.
And it's nifty. Because that's what's going to get them, kids.
So, okay. Nifty. Yeah. We'll mispronounce Kevin Feige's. Last name if he so chooses.
But I was just going to say, like, that's not really criticizing the production of the show. That's edifying us because we didn't know.
Yeah, we didn't know.
Oh, that rhymed too.
And if there's one thing that we do know, it's that a lot of times we don't know. Right?
Right.
I don't know. Any other feedback? Oh, yes, we do. We need to go to Ron's Red Oak Treehouse because he preemptively sent in thoughts on the Maze Runner as he was waiting for the white rabbit to come out of the hole and all that good stuff.
Poor white rabbit.
Yeah. Do you have it pulled up?
I'm pulling it up now.
Oh, he is pulling up now. Again, live here on the show.
Live on the thing. Hey, by the way.
Yes.
I got several good comments on my white rabbit makeup.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
And you should. Too bad it didn't get to see the light of day.
Oh, it got to see the light of Instagram. That's where it ended.
Yes. It lives on Instagram. It's live on Instagram.
Where is it? I know you sent it because I read it.
Okay. So we can now.
I thought we were going to save it for next time anyway.
Okay. Well, then let's do that. Sorry, Ron. Tune in next time, and you can hear your comments on the Maze Runner as he had a bunch of comments on. Okay, stop.
Now I'm already here.
Okay.
I'm here. Well, go ahead. I'm here.
Well, I killed enough dead air.
So hey, dear friends. Sorry. Oh wait, we're going to Ron's Red Oak Treehouse, by the way.
Yes.
Dear friend, sorry for the last minute email. # this was sent last week. # it's not last minute anymore.
Yes.
I'm in such a huge hairy. So please overlook my rambling.
Oh, no.
A huge.
That gets a.
I'm in such a huge, huge hurry. Overlook my rambling. There's so many great things to see in The Maze Runner. Thomas arrives like everyone else. Not only. Oh, hold on. Wait. Thomas arrives like everyone else. Everyone else does. Only he had been one of the people in charge of the Maze Runner program.
Oh.
It's a stretch. And I think this is where you have made your point. It's a stretch, but Christ is and was, quote, over all creation, and he has a design and plan for us.
Oh, look at that. Another guy in my age group. We are building up alliances here. Where's yours? Okay.
Whatever.
Continue.
You can't give me that. I guess the closest one to me would be Jeremiah.
I love being middle-aged.
He came to our, quote, glade, just like all the other people. We could not escape the maze, so he came so that we might have hope and more than this life only.
Mm.
Some are content in the glade. That's not God's plan for us. He wants us to. He wants to make us ready for what is beyond this life.
I think Ron must have read the books. Or it's just his usual extreme insight.
Yeah, well, that would not surprise me.
No.
The stones closing on the maze make me think of the tomb. And remember, it is considered death to be in the maze overnight. Christ defeated the power of death, the grievers, and is the firstborn of the resurrection.
Oh, man.
Thomas leads to safety. Rescue those who would follow him.
Okay, listen, stop. I did not read this email while preparing. I told you before the show, right?
Yep.
Said I didn't want to read Ron's because I already had thoughts that I wanted to go to. Now, I would love it if we would get people preemptively to send in their thoughts on the next movie that we're doing because it would make our job a whole lot easier. a whole lot easier if we had people participating and doing those things. So, Ron, I didn't read your email. However, we're clicking right along. You could have sat here and done the show for me today. But please continue doing this because I like your thinking. And maybe I won't have to work any as hard anymore. So, okay.
There you go. Well, he just concludes with, sorry for the typos, etc. Your servant, Ron of the Red Oaks.
Oh, man. No, we are in your service, good sir. He said the same thing I did.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's practically...
pretty good.
Practically to a T. And we will have more feedback from Ron next week because he sent us a big email on the Harry Potter episode that we'd like to give some attention to. But right now, we're running out of time. Do you want to continue on? Shall we say maybe a little real news?
Roll it!
All right. And Brendan, this is the week that I started posting real news on our actual website.
The website, yeah.
So I posted three stories, and then there are some others that are... you know, direct links to the websites, but they all end up on our Facebook page. And so if you're following us on Facebook at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema, you can keep up with all these things or follow us on Twitter at Christ in Cinema. What do we have this past 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Well,
let's run through them quick.
Whole heap and lot. Okay, here we go. And the newest in a long line of Spider-Man is Asa Butterfield.
Yes. Confirmed.
So, confirmed, yeah. That was in the rumors for a while.
Asa Butterfield from Hugo and Ender's Game. Did you ever see Ender's Game?
Not yet.
I need to see it, too.
Yeah, it's on my own personal list.
Okay.
Not the list.
Not what?
The list!
Okay.
Just my own personal list. Hey, next up, Warner Brothers Entertainment has released the second full-length Pan teaser trailer, and it is, wait for it, fantastic!
Yay! That's like,
told you he was tricksy.
Well, there's your
Golem
pun.
Doesn't like my puns.
That's your pun for the episode, I guess.
Oh,
it's stuff like this that gives me trust issues.
I'm out of here.
Hey, this just in, as in a couple days ago.
Yes.
First Maze Runner Scorch Trials trailer and poster.
I think it's safe to say the Maze Trials were a complete success. It's too soon to say, but they could be the key to everything. It's time now to begin phase two.
Welcome to the Scorch. The world outside's hanging on by a very thin thread. Beyond this door lies the beginning of your new lives.
Hey, Thomas, we weren't the only maze.
What do you remember about Wicked?
I remember they sent me into the maze. I remember watching my friends die in front of me.
Don't you want to understand?
Understand what?
Why this all happened. I just need to know. Whose side are you on?
They're hiding something.
Come on, you don't know that.
They lied to us. We never escaped. It's all just been part of their plan.
What do they want from us?
Thomas! The maze is one thing. The two kids won't last one day out in the Scorch.
What the hell?
The course of your lives will determine the course of humanity. Into light or darkness.
Well, I already know what I'll be talking about for that film right here on Finding Christ in Cinema.
Man.
What did you think?
More than one maze?
What could it all mean?
Conspiracy theories. Anyway.
Oh.
Hey, moving on.
Hey, would it be...
Oh, I guess not.
She said... they said phase two. Wouldn't it be phasey two?
No, fakey. Fakey
two. Oh, okay. Okay. Moving on.
Hey, homemade pumpkin spice latte in the only mug that matters. Hashtag Star Wars, hashtag R2-D2.
Yes.
Michael.
It's not really news.
Pumpkin spice latte is for fall, not spring.
It's always fall in my heart. My favorite season.
Hey, Warcraft's Orgrim, the war chief orc.
Yes. Yes, a first look into the Warcraft movie. Hmm. That picture, I sent it out to on the interwebs, and some people who were previously unexcited are a little bit more excited now. And now I'm actually excited to look for this movie soon. Hmm. Picture's good. Get over to the website and look at it.
Well, all right. Get a glimpse of the Joker's car on the set of Suicide Squad.
Yep, they leaked some of those. I have absolutely zero interest in this movie, but Brendan will watch it for you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, another first look, Michael Fassbender as Steve Jobs.
Did you watch that trailer?
No, I didn't. Oh,
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, I'll watch it for next
time. He doesn't
look
anything like Steve, but that's okay.
Well, of course not.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a new Monday movie review.
Yes.
It's Machina. I already talked about that. Another first look, Crossbones in Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, they're leaking all kinds of photos from Civil War.
Man. Hey, confirmed, War of the Planet of the Apes is due in 2017.
Yes, and the name.
Yeah, yep. A third Minions trailer. Banana.
And it's fun. I can't wait for a Minions movie.
Anyway. Hey, there's some more Philip Hurd.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard that. Anyway, hey, due to an unforeseen theater emergency, blah, blah, blah. Rumor mill.
Oh, rumor mill coming right up.
Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheek, 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 talk a lot, take a little more.
Eddie Redmayne heads to the Wizarding World. That's all you need to know. Eddie Redmayne heads to the Wizarding World in the Fast. Give me Mulligan.
Okay. Try the, do a better job next time.
Eddie Redmayne heads to the Wizarding World in Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Yeah.
What? And then, oh, look, some jerk commented, anything to bring him out of the Jupiter Ascending funk. Whoo! Man, talk about a breather. Hey, on Thursday's show, hey, that's Maze Runner, that's what we just did. Liam Neeson as a terrorist-hunting CIA agent in A Willing Patriot. And it probably won't end well for the bad guys.
When will they learn?
I don't know.
Don't go up against Liam Neeson. He's a Jedi.
He has a certain set of skills. There's not any Star Wars news.
Liam Neeson.
Oh.
He's a Jedi.
Oh, anyway. Hey, Brad Bird talks about The Incredibles 2.
Yes!
And confirms it as his next project.
Looking forward to that. That is, and also there's been, he was supposed to do The Force Awakens.
Really?
Yeah.
Brad Bird?
Yep. He's probably gonna do one of the upcoming Star Wars movies, at least one.
Wow, okay. Anyway, hey, James McAvoy goes hair-free. For X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah. So he's following Lex Luthor,
Jesse Eisenberg.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Whew, I'm glad I'm not the only
Mark Facebook.
Brain farts over here.
Well.
Hey, there's another new Monday movie review on Avengers, but you already saw that. Let's see. Here we go. Another rumor mill.
Okay.
Ladies. Pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, cheek, 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 talk a lot, take a little more.
Spider-Man reboot, a 4-part story arc. Beginning with an origin story?
Please, please say it isn't
what,
so.
What was wrong with Andrew Garfield?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
Man. Okay. All right. And that concludes our broadcast day.
And we...
Man.
And ended it on a total...
On a wonker, I think that's what it's called.
The lightning rounds. All right, so everybody, I am dressed as Gandalf the Grey today. If you were tuned in live, watching the video here on this Thursday afternoon, we turn the cameras on around 3 p.m., and you can interact with us in the chat room and all that fun stuff. You would see that I am indeed dressed in full Gandalf garb, and that is because on Saturday, I'm taking my daughter and her friends to the Tennessee Renaissance Festival, or Tenren, as we call it here, and one of her friends, her little friends, made me this Gandalf costume. Not the hat. I bought the hat on Amazon, but
I was gonna say, if she made the hat, that is super impressive. So the robes are already impressive enough.
So now if you want to see this get up, there's pictures on Instagram, you know, our Christ in Cinema Instagram, Brendan's Instagram. You can come and watch this video after the fact on the live page. You know, you'll just go into the player and find a link to it, or it should be there, and all that stuff.
Now, Michael.
Yeah.
Will there be a reaction video?
Yes, I'm going to put together a little reaction video of Brendan, because when he came over today, I was just sitting at the desk in the studio silently staring at him, and I caught that on the video camera, and so we will put one of those together, and I don't know if I'll put that on our YouTube page. It will, at the very least, be posted on our Facebook page, so if you are not friends or following us on Facebook, get to facebook.com/Christ in Cinema, and his reaction was everything that I hoped that it would be.
It was indeed all the things.
Brendan had a big lightning round discussion that we were going to have, but we have spent too much time on this episode, so maybe we can save that till next episode, Brendan.
Well, here, let's give the audience a chance to get in on it.
Okay.
Because this is kind of important.
All right.
This is. This week, in the past couple weeks, Simon Pegg,
yes,
as we know, is the new Scotty. He's made some comments about what he calls nerd culture. Now, I'm going to go ahead and put this link on the Facebook, on the blog post.
All right.
It's going to go ahead and be there. It'll be on the next one, too. But please, check out this link and see these comments that he makes, because it kind of shakes the foundation of what we're doing here at GCTN. However, if you were tuned into the...
Oh, yeah, we had a nice big discussion.
To the pre-show, trust me.
Yeah.
Just read the comments, see what he says. We kind of want to get your feedback on these comments as well. And like he said, next episode, we'll talk about what we talked about.
Yeah.
So
there you go. Yeah. I mean, we had the studio camera on, good 45 minutes or so before we started the show. And we had a huge discussion. I mean, fisticuffs, we were punching each other, jumping on top of each other.
I almost tore his hat off.
Calling each other all kinds of names. I almost tore his beard off.
Like, wait a minute.
What? Look at that.
My beard is gone.
baby smooth face over there.
Well, I shaved yesterday, Michael, so there's a little scraggle.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry I haven't kept up with you.
So anyway, and then the last thing that we want to mention here in this lightning round is that tomorrow, Friday, which is probably the day that you're hearing this podcast, Friday, the 22nd of May, is David Gaddy's birthday. Our very FCC's very own David Gaddy of the Theonauts podcast. And he's just a kid. Man, I didn't realize that I was that much older than him. 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my goodness. I feel... Oh my goodness, so over the hill. And gosh, it's my daughter's birthday in 2 days. One of my daughters, one of my many daughters. So there you go. That's the show. What Christian themes did you find in The Maze Runner? There's chock full of them. You can see that Ron of the Red Oaks sent in his thoughts on it, which were the same as my thoughts on it.
Yeah.
And so Brendan's outnumbered 2-1. We win.
Whatever.
Okay. And
shortest episode ever.
It's shortest episode ever. But let us know in the comments. Use our SpeakPipe voicemail page, or we will give you our phone number here coming up in just a few moments. But Brendan, what are we going to do next week?
Well, if you haven't picked up on the hints,
we've been laying them down. If you haven't been picking up what we've been laying down,
yeah. If you haven't been mopping up what we've been spitting out,
okay.
Next week, Back to the Future.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
1985? Yep. You weren't even born.
No, I was 4 years.
So this is like back in the olden days.
Yeah, I know.
Wow.
There was this weird thing called Tetris.
Oh, man. There's all kinds of stuff. And you know what?
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
He's already clipped it.
I'm ready.
Oh.
I am ready for the next episode. Back to the Future, the first, the original.
Yep. Hey, that's
the Libyans.
That's the power of love.
Oh!
Okay, so next week is Back to the Future. The week after that will be Noah.
Wow, I better watch it.
Yeah, better get on that. And then, of course, after that, we're getting back to Tom Hanks. Because, let's face it, the air got to it.
The air did get to it. It blew right up, and we are ready now.
The air got to it!
We'll be looking at Forrest Gump.
Yeah, and shrimp. Let's eat shrimp while we're doing the show.
Plenty of shrimp.
Let's get a shrimp tray.
You want to?
I think that we should.
Now, the inner Seinfeld in me wants to make a Seinfeld joke. Guys, if you like Seinfeld and you like shrimp, you know what I'm talking about. But we'll move on for now.
Okay. My Gandalf robe just hit the microphone.
Yeah, that's... Stop! Ugh, the magic is in my ears. Stop. And it's not the podcast.
All right. So there you go. 3 weeks ahead. Any thoughts that you have on any of those movies beforehand, go ahead and send them in to us. Finding Christ in Cinema. We are in the studio live. I've mentioned it plenty of times today. You have no excuses. Each Thursday, Lord willing, unless the White Rabbit doesn't show up, around 3 p.m. Central Time, you can join us for audio and video, and especially the chat room, using the chat room and the players at gctnetwork.com/live. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate for all things Finding Christ in Cinema, all the podcasts, Monday movie reviews, news, all of it, the links to all of our social sites. Get over to our website at christincinema.com. Or if you're just old-fashioned and you want to write us in via email, electronic mail, you can address that to fcc@gctnetwork.com.
You can call us up on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN.
What if that one doesn't work?
Well, luckily we have this other completely brand new voice line. You could say it's been regenerated.
Inconceivable.
Voice line at 507-407-4286.
All right.
But let's say you don't want to contact us. It's fine. You just want to listen to the podcast. Get your weekly dose of FCC. You can find
well-mannered frivolity.
You can find us at iTunes if you like falafel.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like falafel.
You can find us at Stitcher if you love duct tape.
I do.
Love duct tape.
And you can find us at TuneIn Radio if you keep trying to hit me.
Come on, stop trying to hit me and hit me.
Just search them all. Not for Babbling Bumbling Band of Baboons.
Fool of a Took.
Or that either. You can search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
Babbling Bumbling Band of Baboons.
And for all the shows that we produce on the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts, get over to the official website at gctnetwork.com. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
This whole episode, your hat, whenever your head moves, it bobbles in the opposite direction. It's so
funny. Pretty mind-blowing.
It is pretty mind-blowing.
And that is a wrap!
You ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
I don't understand.
You are a sad, strange little man.
What a bunch of hippy dippy baloney.
You know I hate comedians.
There's no such thing as magic.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
That's just as fascinating as the first 89 times you told me that.
One does not simply walk into Mordor.
Potatoes!
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission. This is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com.